Krishna Book, Canto 12, Rukmini, Chapter 51, Scene 5, Rukmini's Letter. Thus, being satisfied by these transcendental pastimes with Lord Krishna, the Brahmana narrated the whole story of his mission to come and see Krishna. He got out the letter which Rukmini had written to Krishna and then said, "These are the words of Princess Rukmini. My dear Krishna, O infallible and most beautiful one, any human being who happens to hear about your transcendental form and pastimes immediately absorbs through his or her ears your name, fame, and qualities. Thus, all one's material pangs subside, and one fixes your form in the heart. And through such transcendental love for you, one sees you always within oneself. And by this process, all of one's desires become fulfilled. So similarly, I have heard of your transcendental qualities, and I may be shameless in expressing myself so directly, but you have captivated me and taken my heart. You may suspect that I am an unmarried girl, young in age, and you may doubt my steadiness of character. But, my dear Mukunda, you are the supreme lion among human beings. You are the supreme person among all persons. Any girl, although not yet out of her home, or any woman who may be of the highest chastity, would desire to marry you, being captivated by your unprecedented character, knowledge, opulence, and position. I know that you are the husband of the goddess of fortune, and that you are very kind toward your devotees. I therefore have decided to become your eternal maidservant. My dear Lord Krishna, I thus dedicate my life and soul unto your lotus feet. I have accepted your lordship as my selected husband, and I therefore request you to accept me as your wife. You are the supreme powerful, O lotus-eyed one. Now I belong to you. If that which is enjoyable for the lion to eat is taken away by the jackal, it will be a ludicrous affair. I therefore request you to immediately take care of me before I am taken away by Shishupal and other princes like him. My dear Lord Krishna, in my previous life, I may have done public welfare work, like digging wells and growing trees, or other pious activities, such as performing ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices, serving the superior spiritual master, brahmanas and Vaishnavas. By these activities, perhaps I have pleased the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. So if this is so, then I wish that you, Lord Krishna, brother of Lord Balaram, would please come here and catch hold of my hand so that I may not be touched by Shishupala and his company." Rukmini's marriage with Shishupal was already settled. Therefore, Rukmini suggested that Krishna kidnap her so that this might be changed. This sort of marriage, in which the girl is kidnapped by force, is known as Rakshasa, and it is practiced among the Kshatriyas, or the administrative, martial-spirited type of men. Because Rukmini's marriage was already arranged to take place the next day, Rukmini suggested that Krishna come there incognito to kidnap her and then fight with Shishupal and his allies like the king of Magadha, Jarasandha. Knowing that no one could conquer Krishna and that he would certainly emerge victorious, Rukmini addressed him as Ajita, the unconquerable. Rukmini told Krishna not to be concerned that many of her family members, including other women, might be wounded or even killed if the fighting took place within the palace. As the king of a country thinks of diplomatic ways to achieve his objective, similarly Rukmini, being the daughter of the king, was diplomatic in suggesting how this unnecessary and undesirable killing could be avoided. Rukmini explained that it was the custom of her family to visit the temple of goddess Durga, their family deity, before a marriage. The Kshatriya kings were mostly staunch Vaishnavas, worshipping Lord Vishnu in either the Radha Krishna or Lakshmi Narayana form. But still, for their material welfare, they used to worship the goddess Durga. But they never made the mistake of accepting the demigods as the Supreme Lord on the level of Vishnu Tattva, as do some less intelligent persons. In order to avoid the unnecessary killing of her relatives, Rukmini suggested that it would be easiest for Krishna to kidnap her while she was either going from the palace to the temple or else while she was returning home. Rukmini also explained to Krishna why she was so anxious to be married to him, even though her marriage was to take place with Shishupal, who was also qualified, being the son of a great king. Rukmini said that she did not think anyone was greater than Krishna, not even Lord Shiva, who is known as Mahadev, the greatest of all demigods. Lord Shiva also seeks the pleasure of Lord Krishna in order to be delivered from his entanglement in the quality of ignorance within this material world. In spite of the fact that Lord Shiva is the greatest of all souls, or Mahatmas, Lord Shiva keeps on his head the purifying water of the Ganges, which emanates from a hole in this material universe made by the toe of Lord Vishnu. Lord Shiva is in charge of the material quality of ignorance, and so in order to keep himself in a transcendental position, he always meditates on Lord Vishnu. Rukmini therefore knew very well that obtaining the favor of Krishna was not an easy job. If even Lord Shiva must purify himself for this purpose, surely it would be difficult for Rukmini, who was only the daughter of a Kshatriya king. Thus, Rukmini desired to dedicate her life to observing severe austerities and penances, such as fasting and going without bodily comforts. And if it were not possible in this lifetime to gain the favor of Krishna by these activities, Rukmini was prepared to do the same lifetime after lifetime. In Bhagavad Gita it is said that pure devotees of Lord Krishna execute devotional service with great determination. Such determination, as exhibited by Rukmini Devi, is the only price for purchasing Krishna's favor and is the way to ultimate success in Krishna consciousness. After explaining Rukmini Devi's statement to Krishna, the Brahmana said, "My dear Krishna, chief of the Yadu dynasty, I have brought this confidential message for you from Rukmini. Now it is placed before you for your consideration. After due deliberation, you can act as you please. But if you want to do something, you must do it immediately. There is not much time left for action." Thus ends chapter 51, scene 5, Rukmini's letter. All glories to Krishna book, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Dekore bai tribhuvane nai emona doyala datta. Dekore bai tribhuvane nai emona doyala datta. Pashu pakki jure pashana vidare chuni jara gunagata. Pashu pakke jure pashana vidare chuni jara gunagata. Paramakaruna Pahudvijana Nitai Gaurachandra. Nitai Gaurachandra. Nitai Gaurachandra. Dekore bhai tribhuvane nai. Lochandash Thakur says, "My dear brother, you just try and examine this. Within the three worlds, there is no one like Lord Chaitanya or Lord Nityananda, because their merciful qualities are so great that they make even birds and beasts cry, what to speak of human beings." Actually, when Lord Chaitanya passed through the forest known as Jarikanda, the tigers, elephants, snakes, deer, and all other animals joined Lord Chaitanya in chanting Hare Krishna. It is so nice that anyone can join. Even the animals can join. What to speak of human beings? Of course, it is not possible for ordinary men to induce animals to chant. But if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could inspire animals to chant, then at least we can encourage human beings to adopt this path of Hare Krishna mantra chanting. It is so nice that even the most stone-hearted man will be melted. Pashana means stone. It is so nice, even stone will melt.